Another Southwest 737 has blown its top. Gulfstream mourns 4 employees lost in a testing accident. And FAA reauthorization may still face trouble. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 4th, 2011. It's happened again. In a discomforting rerun of an incident in July of 2009 over Charleston, West Virginia, another Southwest Airlines Boeing 737 has suffered rapid decompression, this time at 34,000 feet over Arizona. Southwest Flight 812 departed Phoenix, Arizona for Sacramento, California, Friday at 3:25 p.m. Mountain Time. One passenger told KSL News in Salt Lake City there was a sound like an explosion. Then, quote, "All of a sudden there was a big sunroof in the middle of the plane," unquote. The separation was reported to be several feet long above the overhead bins. The crew reportedly initiated a steep descent and made an emergency landing at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, where a replacement plane was dispatched by the airline. None of the 118 passengers reported injuries, and all chose to continue their flight when the replacement aircraft arrived. One flight attendant was reported to have suffered a minor injury, and at least one passenger was reported to have fainted before getting the mask on. Others reported feeling lightheaded. The travel disruptions extend well beyond Phoenix and Sacramento. Southwest quickly announced it was grounding 79 of its 737-300s to check for fatigue cracks and expects to cancel about 300 flights. The inspections are expected to be completed by late Tuesday. In a statement on its website, Southwest says it's been working with Boeing engineers and will conduct the inspections in 5 locations. The airline appears to have quickly distributed meal and hotel vouchers, and most displaced passengers seemed understanding of the inconvenience. One traveler, Betsy Kruger of Daytona Beach, Florida, told KSL, quote, "If Southwest is wanting to be very safe about things, we want to go right along with it. You don't take chances with airplanes falling apart," unquote. One can't help but imagine Southwest wishes she had chosen her words differently. The NTSB is on the case. The airline says there may be sporadic delays of up to 2 hours. It urges all of us to check flight status before leaving for the airport for a Southwest flight. It appears that some sort of takeoff accident has claimed the lives of 4 Gulfstream Aerospace employees. The company confirms the accident happened Saturday morning in Roswell, New Mexico. Company President Joe Lombardo said in the official statement, quote, "Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of those who were lost. We are cooperating 100% with the investigation," unquote. Various reports monitored by ANN suggest the aircraft may have gotten off the ground briefly, but hit the runway, suffered a gear collapse, and was consumed by fire. The plane was one of 5 in the test fleet and was reportedly crewed by 2 test pilots and 2 flight test engineers. First deliveries were scheduled for next year. There's no word if there's any impact on those dates. We'll have further details as more is known. The U.S. House of Representatives passed H.R. 658 Friday morning. That's the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2011. The legislative process now moves to conference to resolve differences with a bill passed by the Senate. The House bill cuts $4 billion in spending on aviation. The Senate bill includes an increase in aviation spending favored by the Obama administration, which many see as critical to the deployment of NextGen. The Wall Street Journal reports the bill also repeals a rule recently issued by the National Mediation Board, which would require a union to get only a majority of employees who vote to approve representation, not a majority among the total number of employees. The House bill would restore the old method, which counts non-votes as no votes. President Obama has said he would veto any FAA bill that included spending cuts or labor language. So we still could be looking at a 20th consecutive temporary funding bill for the FAA before anything permanent happens. Up next on ANN, get the feel of flying a skycatcher without buying one. American legend commits to using Lycoming's new engine. And a new tester can quantify parasitic electrical loads. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0. The framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 4th. I'm Paul Plack. A new course titled Flying the Cessna Skycatcher is now available from King School's founders John and Martha King. The course demonstrates all the basic maneuvers in the Skycatcher, and it's designed for pilots transitioning to the plane or just wondering what flying the Skycatcher would be like. It's also the exclusive transition course used by Cessna Pilot Centers worldwide. Martha and John praise the plane's visibility and handling. Flying the Cessna Skycatcher includes over 3 hours of video and is available from King Schools for $149. American Legend Aircraft Company has introduced the Super Legend, sporting the Lycoming 233 series lightweight engine and other performance enhancements. Features include a Super Cub-style pressure cowling and classic Super Cub paint scheme. Custom paint options are also available. The company says the Super Legend incorporates lightweight carbon fiber parts to come in at a base weight of 845 pounds, giving it the same power-to-weight ratio as a 150-horsepower Super Cub. The Super Legend has Super Cub-style flaps, a 32-gallon fuel system with left-right both selector switch, and balanced tail feathers. Instrument panel choices include basic low and slow, cross-country with night VFR, and the Legend Smart Cub panel. The Lycoming 233 series delivers 115 horsepower at 2,800 RPM and can burn 100 low lead and unleaded automotive fuel. The introductory price is about $140,000. Certification of the engine is expected this fall, with first deliveries of the plane in the first quarter of next year. Concord Battery Corporation has released a new parasitic load tester to measure the drain on aircraft batteries when the master switch is off and the aircraft is inactive. Parasitic loads can include relays, clocks, radios, and onboard computers. Depending on the magnitude of the parasitic load, the battery in an inactive aircraft can be depleted within weeks or even days. Partially discharged batteries may still start the engine, but leave the pilot vulnerable in case of a generator failure. The tester connects between the battery receptacle and the aircraft mating plug. It has a molded polypropylene body equipped with separate test leads for connection to a digital multimeter. The Concord part number is 4102. The tester is rated for loads up to 10 amps and is equipped with a 10-amp fuse. Duncan Aviation has a new interior program, which guarantees a 14-day installation of new interior soft goods, including the total strip and refinish of cabinets, in the Learjet 45. Sales rep George Bajo notes, quote, "Downtime is still one of the top concerns of many aircraft operators. Providing industry-leading downtimes has always been something at which Duncan Aviation has excelled," unquote. The company, by the way, offers a written guarantee on that 14-day downtime, quote. Still ahead, Florida may be ready to revive its aviation service industry. AIA has kudos and a reminder for the White House. And how you spent your weekend may offer a clue to your gullibility. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 4th. I'm Paul Platt. Florida last year repealed a law applying its state use tax to visiting out-of-state aircraft. Now that that problem's been solved, the state legislature is considering extending tax exemption to aircraft parts and maintenance on aircraft as small as 2,000 pounds. The current exemption only covers planes weighing 15,000 pounds or more. AOPA Director of State Government Affairs Mark Kimberling applauds the move, saying small planes are big business. Quote, "And while Florida is certainly an epicenter for GA activity, numerous states have taken aggressive action over the past several years. Not only is Florida losing out on out-of-state business, but we've also started to see Florida aircraft owners leaving the state for what can amount to significant savings on major maintenance work," unquote. President Obama's comments last week declaring a goal for the U.S. Air Force to obtain half its domestic jet fuels from alternative sources by 2016 has drawn praise from Marion Blakey, the former FAA administrator who, these days, is president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Blakey noted that commercial aircraft today use 70% less fuel than those of 40 years ago, but reminded the administration that adequately funding next-gen air traffic control is important in continuing that progress. Her statement says next-gen system efficiencies will reduce fuel burn and greenhouse gas emissions up to 12% by 2025, the equivalent of taking 2.2 million cars off the road for 1 year. And finally, if you spent the weekend calling your cable provider to find the new premium body scan channel, or spent it online looking for the new TSA webinar on self-pat-downs for GA pilots, or spent it in Wichita looking for the site of the new Chinese embassy, you may be in the 95th or higher percentile for gullibility. You may want to consider not shopping alone for used cars. We had a lot of fun with our April 1st edition on the website Friday, and so did some of our readers who submitted their own ideas. If you missed out on the fun, go to aero-news.net, and if necessary, use the Get News by Date function to see the April 1st headlines and read the stories. And if something strikes you funny or otherwise worthy of parody during the course of the next 12 months, feel free to turn your writing and or photo manipulation software skills to the task. Hopefully, there will be more opportunities for the aviation industry to laugh this year than there were during 2010. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells me why he doesn't think dual instruction hours earned with a sport pilot CFI should count later on toward a private certificate. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.